Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Let me go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to come together. And we pray for Trace as he brings us the message. And we just pray that you prepare our hearts with the music and the psalm reading, and just as we move into your presence, Lord, help us to cast off everything that we've come in through the door with, and help us to just put our faith in you and our trust in you, and to just come and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, I want to thank you guys for letting me come here to speak today. For those of you, well, I guess I was just introduced, but for those of you who don't know me, I am Trevor Larson's younger and better looking brother. So, well, today we're going to be diving into the Word of God. We're going to be looking at a lot of different passages. So get your Bibles ready, get your pen and paper ready. It's going to be fun. And today we're going to be talking about something that you don't see talked about necessarily a lot when you go to church. A lot of times when we go and listen to a sermon, it's about Jesus, something Jesus has done, or maybe we are looking at a specific text in the Bible. Sometimes we might be looking at the life of Paul. It just depends, and these things are all good, and we should be talking about these things, but there's often times we don't see much about the devil. And so today, my sermon is about the attributes of the devil and what we can do to fight him and to withstand him. You look at the military. The military studies their enemy, so they know how to fight them, how to withstand their attacks. And so we as humans, we need to be this way, just like the military, when we are fighting against our biggest adversary, the devil. So today's title of this sermon is The Attributes of the Devil. We are going to be looking at four attributes of the devil. I love to hunt. One of the things I love to hunt the most is coyotes. Now, I might not be overly good at it, but I understand the principles behind it. You have a coyote call, and you might have a rabbit in distress, so the coyote's thinking, ooh, I can get myself a good meal. Or else maybe you might have some different howls that thinks he's got some friends over the hill and he wants to go say hi. Pretty much what you're trying to do is call the coyotes in within shooting range so you can shoot them. Well, we need to be like these coyotes that have been shot at before. If there's a coyote that has been shot at before when they've been called in and you miss, they know now not to come to these calls, because they're call smart. And so we need to be like the call smart coyotes and tuck tail and run the other direction from the devil. So today we will be looking at who the devil is and the characteristics that we need to know about the devil's attributes. So what are the attributes of the devil? Well, let's take a look at four attributes that we need to know about the devil. The first characteristic is that he is the father of lies. He is the father of lies. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to John 8:44. John 8:44. In the context with John 8:44 is Jesus was talking to the Jews, telling them in verse 31 that the truth will set you free by continuing in the Word. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So what are some of the lies that the devil is trying to push on our society today? I'm sure we can all think of a few things, and I'm not here to get into a big debate whether various things are right versus wrong. But I would say abortion is a major lie the devil is pushing on our society as today, because the devil hates us. The devil hates life. And so the devil lies to us to make us think that abortion is not about taking a life, and it's a right the mother should have. Well, another thing might be homosexuality. We are told that God wants us all to be happy, and God wouldn't want to make any rules that would restrict us from being happy, right? Well, you see, God has guidelines. He has very strict guidelines. And who are we to tell God what his guidelines for us should be? So what motivates Satan? What is the main thing that pushes Satan to do what he does? Well, that would be pride, because the goal for Satan is to become like God. That is that's his plan, is to become like God. Obviously, we know, if you have read Revelations at all, that that's not going to happen. But that is his main thing that he is trying to do. In doing so, he tries to keep people from believing in Christ and to take believers and cause them to stumble, hindering their fellowship with the Lord. See, the devil knows that once we're saved, we cannot lose that salvation. We can't lose it. Once we are a child of God, we will always be a child of God, no matter what we do. So Satan is not trying to get us to lose our salvation, but what he is trying to do is he is trying to hinder us from being fruitful Christians. He tries to draw us away. Just do this one little thing, and then it escalates into more. Because if we aren't fruitful Christians, we're not going to be going out there and witnessing to people. We're not going to be bringing other people to Christ. You see, Satan's been at the whole sin thing for quite a while. 1 John 3:8 says, "The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." This being said, he's probably pretty good at convincing people to do wrong. He's probably good at what he does. So I want us now to take a look at the second characteristic that we need to know about the devil's attribute. And that second characteristic is that he is a prowling lion. He's a prowling lion. So if you would, turn to 1 Peter 5:8. The context behind 1 Peter 5:8 is Peter is explaining the responsibilities the church has in times of trouble, telling the people to stand firm in the faith and to listen to authority and to be humble. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be of sober spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Growing up as a kid, one of my favorite TV shows to watch was The Animal Planet. And the reason for that is we love to watch all the gazelles or the zebras or whatever it might have been roaming across the desert, trying to find water or whatever. Maybe they were just out for a Sunday stroll, who knows. But behind them was always a pack of lions, always. And the pack of lions were looking for a certain gazelle that they could feast on because they're hungry. Now, which gazelles would the lions be looking for the most? Is it the strong one that's leading the herd? Or is it the sick one, the one that's weak, kind of falling behind? Well, obviously, it's the one that's kind of falling behind the herd. And so we as humans don't want to be this lone gazelle, because the devil is our prowling lion. So how do we be the strong gazelle? How do we be the one that leads the herd? Well, some of these ways is staying in the Word. We need to have a daily devotional. We need to be reading God's Word daily. What would be another thing? Staying in prayer. Prayer is so important. We need to be praying daily. Who or what are some things that we need to pray for? Well, I would say things that Satan focuses on most. And you might think, well, what are those things? Well, anything or anywhere God's truths are being taught is where Satan is going to put his most focus on, because he wants to destroy those things. Like we talked about earlier, Satan doesn't want us to be fruitful Christians, so he's going to try to break up anything where God's truths are being taught. What are some of these places? Church, Bible colleges, your personal devotions, Bible studies, and the list goes on. Now, where are people most vulnerable? Where are we the most vulnerable as people? Well, one of these places, I would say, would be schools. You look at high school. How many bad influences are there in a high school? You might take a kid who is really, really good. When he's at home, he or she's at home, he's just perfect. Get him to school, you're away from your parents. You might be around friends who aren't Christians, and you're trying to fit in, you're trying to make new friends, and this means you might compromise some of the things that you were taught in order to fit in. How about the workforce? You get away from your Christian family, you get on the job, and there's no Christians there, and you want to fit in, have fun with them, so you are willing to compromise your beliefs. Another thing would be people who are alone. Nobody is there to hold this person accountable, bring them up, be there with them, encourage them. So if you see somebody who is alone, as Christians, we need to hold them up, bring them back into the herd, because we don't want them to be led astray or to fall to the devil, to the prowling lion. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." It says comfort the faint-hearted, because the devil attacks those who are weak. We need to pray for those in need, and we need to encourage those who are in need. The third characteristic that we need to know about the devil's attributes is that he is crafty. He is crafty. So please turn to Genesis 3:1-5. Way back in the beginning, Genesis 3:1-5. Context of Genesis 3:1-5 is Satan is trying to convince Eve to eat the forbidden fruit in the garden. Genesis 3:1-5 says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" When we read this, we see that the devil was more cunning than any beast of the field. You didn't see a cow going up to Adam and Eve saying, "Hey, you should eat that apple." He was more cunning than any beast of the field. You see, the devil likes to try to make sin look good, tries to make it look appetizing. Growing up, my grandma baked a lot of cakes, and she'd always have a big bowl of frosting. And oh boy, I loved that bowl of frosting. That was some good stuff. And she told me, "Now, Trace, don't you eat too much of that frosting, because if you do, you're going to get a tummy ache." Like, "Yeah, right, Grandma, I know better than that." So she'd turn around or whatever, and I'd start forking in the frosting, and sure enough, got a tummy ache. See, sin looks really, really, really good at the time. And there's even warning signs saying, "Don't do that." She's told me, "Don't do that, you're going to get a tummy ache." And I do it anyways, and I suffer the consequences. Galatians 6:7-8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." It's simple. You reap what you sow. And we see this from the very, very beginning of the word, clear back in Genesis. Because what happened to Adam and Eve? After they ate of this forbidden fruit, they were kicked from the garden, and man was cursed. And a little side note to go along with this, I believe that it was actually a mango that they ate, not an apple, like everyone thinks, because after they ate it, God said, "Man, go." Had to be a mango. So now that we have seen the three characteristics, we've seen that he is the father of lies, we've seen that he is a prowling lion, and we have seen that he is crafty. I want us to catch the most important characteristic of the devil. If you haven't been following along, I urge you to listen to this, because this is the most important one that we need to be focusing on. And that fourth characteristic is that he is resistible. He is resistible. If you would, turn to 1 Peter 5:9-11. 1 Peter 5:9-11. Context behind 1 Peter 5:9-11 is humbling ourselves and being submissive to one another. 1 Peter 5:9-11 says, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So this is our good news. This is our wonderful, fantastic news that we can hold on to. He is resistible. We are not forced to sin. Yes, temptations will come, but we can fight the temptations. Look at Jesus when he was on the earth roaming, how he was tempted in every way, but yet he did not sin. He did not sin. He was tempted in absolutely everything, but he did not sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." You may be able to bear it. I want us to take a really quick look at Joseph's life. So if you would, turn back to Genesis 39:16. Genesis 39:16. Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery, and he was working for this guy named Potiphar. Potiphar was a higher-ups in the Egyptian nation. He would have been considered something along the lines of Pharaoh's chief of police, we'll say. And so he was working for this man and worked his way up the ropes because he was such a godly man and such a man of integrity. Genesis 39:6-12 says, "Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in the house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Now how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment and said, 'Lie with me.' But he left the garment in her hand and fled and ran outside." So we can see in this passage that we can resist it. We can say no, and we can run. Nowhere in there, and when you read that, they say, since Joseph was tempted like this, he was forced to lie with her. He was forced to do this. No. In fact, in sexual immorality, the best thing to do is to run. Now, when it comes to lying or sins such as stealing or something like that, you don't necessarily run from that. You fight that. But when it comes to sexual immorality, you run. You run from it. And God is always there to help us. Don't ever forget that God is always there to help us. He tells us, "For I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." And we need to hold on to that. We need to remember that, because this is so important to remember. So we have looked at four attributes of the devil. We have seen that he is the father of lies. We have seen that he is a prowling lion. And we have seen that he is crafty. And most importantly, we have seen that he is resistible. And since we have just learned these truths, what would be some things in our own lives that are holding us down? What's something in our own lives that are holding us back? Do you know of somebody that may be down right now, might be depressed, and you've been thinking, I should talk to them, but I'm just too busy right now? Well, you're never too busy. We need to encourage fellow believers, and we need to be with fellow believers. We need to have that fellowship. Fellowship is super, super important to stay close with one another. This is one of the greatest things about having a church family. Being able to go to church is to be with that church family. And yes, I know we may not always agree with one another, but that's God's grace. And now that we have learned these truths, let's be call smart. Let's be like the coyote that's been shot at a couple times and knows not to go to these calls. He knows better. This coyote is wise. Let's be like that coyote. Let's tuck tail and run from him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the beautiful weather outside. And Lord, I thank you for your truths. And I thank you so much for how you are always there for us and how you are there to help us when we are in need. God, I thank you that you have given us these facts that we can look at, and we know how to fight our largest adversary, the devil. God, I pray that as we go about our daily lives, that we would be focusing upon you, and that we would be strong, and that we would be leading the herd. God, I pray that you would please help us not to fall away from you, but that we would be staying right next to you and bringing other people to Christ so that they can experience the same joy that we have, Lord. And I pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Matthew 10, verses 16 through 18. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Amen.